Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Incline our hearts and our ears to your words. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Good evening and welcome to church. Good evening and welcome to church. Worthy is the Lamb. Mama, can you borrow me your phone? Let me be time conscious a bit. This one that you flip like this. Wala video. Hey, that one. My Oga own. Ow. Amen. Congratulations to every one of us. The Lent is gradually winding up, and we thank God for his strength so far, especially to the obedient ones who are fasting, to those of us who are praying and eating. God bless all of us in Jesus' name. Ahana. He will not bless one and leave the other one now. So the essence of our gathering this evening and this week is to remind us of the cross, and to draw our attention to the fact that there is something new from the cross every day. And in these 5 days, 7 days, many new things will drop in our hearts in Jesus' name. Yesterday we began the teaching or the preaching or the ministration on a fresh look at the cross with a sub-team, the sure mercies of David. As God vowed to him in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, we established that sure is certainty. So God says, this mercy is certain, it will come to you, David. And mercy is steadfast love of God to mankind. God willingly dropping our charges that we do not serve the term due us for our transgressions, for our sins. God on his own decided, for as long as we look to the cross, for as long as we submit to the cross, he will drop the charges due us. Why are there charges due us? In Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if, for instance, I defile a young lady in this church, my punishment scripturally is that I must marry her. So congratulations to everybody whose job function is to defile young people in the church. You will become polygamous very soon in Jesus' name. Why are we not saying amen? It's in the Bible. And if you try to judge yourself righteous and there be two witnesses against you, we will take you to city gate and stone you to death. Simple. If I trespass into my neighbor's vineyard, especially during harvest, when the man has not finished his harvest, I am a thief. I'll be treated as such. My punishment is either I pay according to the man's charges. If he says you took one bag of corn, return 10, I should pay back 10. But after he has gleaned his harvest, the Bible instructed him to leave a few so that the strangers and the weak ones may enter and have small. So congratulations to every one of us whose bank account is so tight that only your fingerprint can assess your account balance. Nothing ever falls to the poor around you. You are also liable to be stoned to death because there will always be the poor and there will always be the weak around us who deserve to take small from your vineyard. So you see, at one point in time or the other, if the law is to be applied, we will be in danger of offending God and humanity in one or the other. One of such is that if I have a skin disease, for instance, not even caused by my making, I am not supposed to enter the tent of the meeting of the children of Israel. So I'm not supposed to come to church if I have a skin disease. I am supposed to wear a bell in my waist. As I'm going, the thing is dangling, making noise, so that everybody will know that someone with an unclean skin is coming and they will part. If eventually the medical doctors are able to certify me healed, I should go back to the priests and present myself. And not just presenting my empty self, I should be able to come with an offering that will be collected, and the priest will now adjudge me clean. Then he will send me back to the priest, the smaller priest in my place, who is not the priest in Jerusalem. He will take your gift and send you back to the one from your community where you are from. And if you shortchange God by virtue of bringing a blemished animal, you are supposed to come with a white goat, and you come with one that is blotted, it is sin. You came to give offering. Congratulations to those of us whose offering has never grown past 500 naira every day. Congratulations to you. What an accursed offering that we have been given. And so, when you bring the same offering, the priest will look at it. It's not God, though. The priest will look at it and say, this one is bloated. Sir, drop it over there. Go back and bring the proper offering. Have you seen that our weights, our ways, our wages, even in the name of serving God, is faulty? And so God knew that we cannot exempt ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We just cannot help ourselves. The more people try to please, the more they fall into the temptation of another one. So he introduced the concept from Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. He said, a new covenant I will give unto you, that your brothers, this covenant will be written and grafted in your heart, that your brother will no longer be willing to teach you. Nature will teach you. You will know it by yourself. And this is the covenant which we are in. And that is the same covenant that Simeon in Luke chapter 1 said, my eyes have seen the beauty and the deliverance of Israel, which the prophets of old wished. They wished to experience it. They wished that mercy will be extended to them at times like this. You take time to read 1st and 2nd Kings, and you see, and this king did bad before the Lord, and the Lord allowed him to be hanged, or the Lord allowed him to be killed, and the Lord in his anger slayed him. How many of us have not offended God this season? Some wish that dollar go to 2,700 because they've got savings in dollars. Others want dollar to come down to 2 naira, true of us, so that we can send our children abroad to do their masters peacefully. Amen. I'm sure I'm speaking the minds of a lot of people. But in between these two people, one is speaking against God. Why is my dollar not going up? The other one is saying, why is my earning this bad? Yesterday, I was somewhere with somebody the presbyter knows about, and I took my children and my wife. I said, I'm going to see you. He said, okay, come along with them. So, do you know what this person is asking me? He said to me, all these people who drive into these premises with armed security men, are they bigger than me? I said, no, sir. Are they bigger than you? I said, no, sir. He said, so why don't you aspire to be like them? I said, oh, but this is not life. I said, look at all of them. I'm not saying anything bad against anybody who has, but I'm talking about young men of my age. Why will I drive to a place and the security man with an arm will be just less than a foot away from me? and the other person has his own, what are we scared of? To that person, wealth is a measure of happiness. To me, those things are not a measure of what should make me happy. I want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. Don't take it away from me. I hustle to break even. And if time permits, this night I will hustle. I know that one for sure. Hello? But in the course of all these things, you see how we offend God daily. There is sin offering, for crying out loud. How many of us has ever given a sin offering? I was already a reverend minister when I discovered that I should be able to go back to the priest and present my first son to him and say, I redeemed this boy in case he doesn't want to be a reverend. It's in the Bible. But because we see them as people we can call, and then when they come, we put 5,000 in the envelope, we now see them as nothing. But the Lord God allowed them to be here at this time. Treat them as those people whom God has allowed to lead you. Simple. Every first fruit is to be redeemed. I was guilty of it. So you see that we are entangled, enamored in one way or the other to this matter. That's why God gave us this new testament, this new covenant, this new mercy that he speaks about in Acts of the Apostles 13:34. And that is what we have been looking at. And yesterday we were able to determine by exegesis and small hermeneutics that mercy does not always pick the so-called prepared. So that we don't get it wrong when we say mercy picks from the back. You know, me and Dickness, we were saying to us, since Presbyter said mercy picks from the back, let's take our kaya so that mercy will pick us quickly this night. Amen. What we're saying is that mercy does not always pick the one who prepared himself as though he's available. If there were men and women that were available, Rahab was not one of them. She was an international prostitute. The Bible said that her house had a tower. So that woman that can use prostitution to be able to build a house where she was able to foresee the walls and people coming in into the next bordering nations, into, you know, so she was even a trans nation. Okay, worthy is the Lamb. But she found herself into the lineage of Jesus. There were people who were more religious at that time. That's what we're saying, that mercy picks the dirtiest to make them clean. Why? Because though Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and still the lion is from that same tribe, he didn't go to the cross as a lion. Otherwise, he would destroy the cross. So he went like a lamb, blemish, who was even tied, his mouth was covered. And he bore our grief in pain. That what it is due us, what was due us, what will still be due us, he took it away. That's what we're trying to establish by mercy. God's steadfast love redeeming us back to himself. In Isaiah chapter 49, where the liturgy allowed us to read through today, in verse 5, the Bible talked about that this one that is born, his sole function is to reconcile Jacob back to God. And we say Abraham's blessings are mine and Jacob is Israel. So if that one that was born, his sole aim, I paraphrase that scripture anyway, his sole function, his sole objective was to reconcile God to his people. That is also what we have come to do at the cross, to obtain some level of reconciliation with God. But this night, yesterday, having established that we have been reconciled by grace through faith, this night we may interchange mercy for grace. And so I say to us, Romans, or rather 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Because when you have been reconciled, yes, When you have been reconciled, what next? Do you tarry there? Once a child is born, we expect after certain days that the child should start opening the eyes, start seeing or something like that. We also expect that the child starts reacting to the environment and all of that. And so this is what Apostle Peter is asking us to do. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Every Christian is expected to grow. When Jesus called the 12, one went to call another. He didn't call the 12 at once. One went to call the other. He will speak to this one. The message is sweet to me. That one will go and say to this one, I have seen a man. I have seen this. I have seen the Messiah. Come, let's go and check him out. When he had his interaction with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, immediately she was convinced of her reconciliation. She moved. The journey begins at the cross, but it doesn't end at the cross. Why? So that we don't have stunted growth. And that's why Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2 said to the Roman church, said to the Cathedral of Unity, Abuja, I beseech you, brethren, I plead with you with my strength. That what happens? Okay, they are not there. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself daily before the Lord as a sacrifice, am I right? Holy sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable before the Lord, which is your reasonable sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Mercy does not stop at reconciling us with God alone. Mercy starts at that point, and then we begin to increase in faith. The apostle said, increase our faith. We begin to grow in grace. We begin to expand. Someone said, what is the essence of you being born again if the neighborhood does not know anything about your Christianity? It's not in the long prayers. It cannot be, because everybody now prays. There is one thing or the other chasing after us. Even when we are tipsy, we will mutter. Even when we are trying to booze, we also pray so that our friends in the same table will not pass their automobile or through scientific Nigerian means into the cup. But that's not the problem. The problem is, are we daily renewing our mind? Daily. Yesterday we established that what Jesus went to do was a one-off. He went through that we may obtain a mind that is cleansed. Because every sin begins with the mind. So if the death of Jesus at the cross has not brought about liberation of our mind, then there's a problem. And that's why Apostle Paul said it's daily that you will renew your mind. Daily. Daily, you will renew your mind. Why will you renew your mind daily? Because every altar needs to be serviced. Every altar. You have been removed from here to here. So how do you maintain the strength of that altar? I heard a testimony from a preacher. I don't know the family it happened to when we were much younger. He said a certain family were having problems. And that family is actually, you know, all of you are from London. There's no demon. So in my village, there is problem. You know, we still have them. So that family is from my village, but he didn't mention them. He said in that family, there is no marriage. Beautiful, tall, elegant women. No marriage. The young men will graduate. No job. The only one that they managed to gather money and send to Spain after 30 years has not taken their call. In the days of writing letter, he does not reply. He will manage once in a while. Is it telegram? Yeah, call telegram. Right? And they will receive it to know that he's alive. And so one of them came to him in prayer and he counseled him. He's a Methodist minister. He's somewhere in Item now. He's a very senior presbyter. He was here during the conference that elected Bishop Nosa as a bishop. He was at the chaplain's office. There were six of them. While others were lobbying to be bishops, these men were praying. I was here. Those men started praying around 4 p.m. when this place was locked. They never stopped praying even when a prelate was announced. We left them here around 6 a.m. They were there. I don't know when they left. So he said to us that one of them came and he had this discussion with the person. And then in the course of prayer, he found out that there is a small altar in their house, in their family, that their grandfather started with a small chicken. What was the man's prayer to his God? Lord, I was born alone. Or to his God, I was born alone. I do not crave wealth in this generation or the next. I want children. And so, he entered into covenant of poverty so that he can have children. But he failed to know that children can also bring prosperity. He served his small God fervently, faithfully, was giving the small God small cheek. When the small God began to demand for full-grown bird, he was giving the small God. After his death, his first son continued, and it was small goat. He grew to full-blown goat. When another generation came, they needed strength the more. He went for dog. A God demanded for a puppy, from puppy to a full-blown dog. But this fourth generation, they don't know nothing about it. They only know that there is a tree in their compound. That when a young girl conceives from another side, if you take in without marriage, they will bring you there, and then they will move the small puppy around. They will call it cleansing the land, equala in my place. So that's all they know. And they were not bothered to cut the tree down. And the very reverend told them that that is where the God is. And that God is demanding from them a human being because it's about 50 years unserviced. So until you give him a human being, no increase in childbearing, and that will metamorphose into no progress. They began to pray. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. And the one that was in Spain, sir, said one day he was in his house, came back from night shift. You know those people over there, they like night shift. I don't know what is relating with them with night shift. I've never been there. He was there. He came back from night shift, cooling off in his sitting room. He saw some elderly men tying wrapper. And they entered without knocking, sat down and asked him, are you not tired of how you are? Are you comfortable like this? And he told them, well, I'm okay. This. They said, come, ask about your mother. Ask about your father. He's long. He said, whether it was trance or real, he cannot place the reality. But shortly afterwards, they disappeared. This guy went to the union, Isukuato Union in Spain, and announced himself that he doesn't have means to go home. And they gathered money and brought him home. That was the beginning of their change. So altars demand certain things. If you read 2 Kings, you will see that a certain king rose. And his father did terribly bad. His father had continued in the sins of Jeroboam. But when he came, he was not interested in the sins of Jeroboam, his father. He decided to start afresh. If you read through and see the list, 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 6, you would see the kind of sacrifices that guy did. Is that what we can do now? The bull offering, the goat offering, the peace offering, this offering, that offering. Okay, that's Uzzah, who went to do God's work. No, that one is 2 Kings. The sacrifices he did were so many. And that's why Apostle Paul, knowing that we don't need those kind of offerings, 2 Kings 16, verse 13, rather. Apostle Paul knew that we don't need those kind of offerings. And for those of us who live in Abuja, some of us, we hate blood. So if we want to eat goat meat now, we'll probably just go to Ebano, their village market, and pick the one that is already processed, true or false. So I'm saying that because every altar demands renewal, Apostle Paul said, renew your mind. That place that you cannot save yourself from, where God has saved you through the works of the cross, renew it daily. Present yourself daily. Which altar now are you presenting yourself before? I'm not against you picking your phone by 7 a.m. to pray some kind of prayer. I like it for those who can pray it. But sir, you need your personal altar now. Do I need to wake you up by 7? No, let's assume network has glitches. So the altar suffers. No, I'm being real, though. I'm just being real. Aren't you ashamed that 15 years after confirmation, you still need your phone to remind you that there's a time to commune with God? There's a time to renew your mind? There's a time. There's a time to give some kind of sacrifices, some kind of offerings that they do not call for in the church. Men and brethren, I was privileged to worship at Wesley Chapel. It's a Methodist church. 2 weeks ago, sir, their offering was conducted with closing hymn. And I was privileged to join them for what they call congregational meeting. In that meeting, sir, very Reverend Richard, is that his name? Announced to them that he has planted 2 churches last year. Each on the island took them over 40 million. One has a building already in it. And they were able to meet all their obligations. I said, offering was collected with him, closing him. And you want us to celebrate you when you come here to, but try. And understand that this thing is a commitment from your heart. Is it not possible for God to speak to you from your altar to say, this is what is necessary at this time to be done? So they announced in that church that their AC will cost them 70 million. 70 million they have disbursed to building committee. And building committee said 70 million has done the job, but they cannot power it. So they need a generator of 40 million. In one service, a Methodist church, they did that thing quietly. I didn't say they raised the money. The presbyter only announced, finish. Finish. Sir, can't we grow out of this level of sometimes we bring unbelievers here and we follow them shamefully. We follow them to this place to come and teach us some. You bring an unbeliever. I will say it boldly. You know they feed me. You know had me to on my phone and collect 2,000 on boats. You bring an unbeliever to come and do what with this mic? So that you excite people, so that what will happen? Does it mean that grace has finished and the work on the cross has finished? And it's left for us to grow. It's not for the minister. The minister is doing more than he thinks and knows to do. It's just that some of us have refused to grow and some of us have grown. And we celebrate those who have grown. We also celebrate those who have refused to grow because grace abounds. It's not finishing. All of us must grow. I should be ashamed that I cannot wake up on my own and just begin to blast in tongues. I am waiting for the keyboard anointing to lead me. Apostle Peter said, grow in grace. This thing is available. Just key in. How many of us will, I don't know about you, one day, sir, I decided on my own. House on the Rock, this one here. I didn't enter there. I used my phone. Because me, I have problem entering some kind of places. So I used my phone. I parked by the stadium. It was their service time. I saw the rush. Young people were as if you don't enter now, they will lock the door. I parked by, you know that long tennis side? I parked there and I saw the rush. So I decided to go online. Sir, those choristers didn't wait for their pastor to start service. I don't know if it was their pattern. They continued. Everywhere was charged up. I was glued to my phone for 90 minutes. These same people that were living at home, and they have assignments. But when they say they want to go to Koza, you will release one car for them to be going to Koza. Faithfully. Are you growing? Okay, so we're waiting for Archbishop to tell us the truth when we know the truth already. Ask yourself how much of this growth. A friend in ministry shared with me on our way from Kaduna when we went to write the King's Year 1 exam. He's in this Abuja. So he shared with me that when he was posted to a certain church, sir, in this Abuja, Methodist Church, in the evening, there's no fence in the church. Men come there to smoke Igbo because his church, there's no fence. So people walk through, walk past, walk this way. They smoke him there. And if it pleases them, they will have time with a girl. So he went the first day to fight them. They beat him to pulp. I was waiting for him to tell me he went the second time. So he said after being dealt with, he decided to go on his knees. And God told him, your problem is not prayers. Your problem is not spirituality. Ask me what you need for this fence and I'll provide. And he asked God for what he needs. He was pitying the church. We have not paid assessment. How I want to talk this one. They will leave the church. But that Sunday morning, he came out and said to them, I was beaten on Friday. I prayed with my wife that same Friday night through Saturday morning. And this is what God asked me to say. I don't get another place to go. He said, ask of me what it takes to do this fence inside his church. One man, he said, one man who joined them that Sunday from Omaha. First timer gave him the money to do the fence. We have come to a point where we need to be appealed to, write letters to, before the gospel goes up. And some young people have copied it. Uzzah wanted to help God, where I mentioned earlier in 2 Samuel 6:6, without permission. It's not wrong to help God, but you need to allow him permit you. He didn't permit Uzzah to touch that cat. He did. He died instantly. David became angry. And when he realized that the man he's angry with has the capacity to deal with him, he repented and rather said the ark should be taken to the house of Obed. We have come to a point where we are too relaxed. I was with somebody, and the bishop of his diocese, God have mercy on me, I'm wearing white and I'm saying this, called him on phone and said to him, you are the next in line to be made knight in this diocese. But you are not relating with me properly. And this young man is in his late 40s. Blood still day his body. The guy reacted. The church where you were enthroned, who built it? Why are you talking to me like that? What else do you want me to do? So I said, who are you speaking to? He said, is it not so? I said, calm down. This is not how to respond to a minister. He probably called you friendly, but because he has not related with you one-on-one, he presented what was in his heart first instead of establishing a relationship. He said, so what do I do? I said, call him back and apologize and ask him, what do you want? So when he did, the man told him exactly what they needed. And he said, okay, this one I can do. The other one, I'll talk to my wife. It's Women Fellowship. Their budget for convention is what she can give. You don't need to come to me for everything. Simple. But we are waiting to be pampered, waiting to be honored. And the young man finished and said, do you still think I should take the knighthood? I said, that's you and him. You want to take it's just a recognition the church is giving you so that you become a soldier of Christ, not just in money, but in the things of God properly. I said, okay, I'll discuss with my wife. Church, where are we not growing? It's an individual question. Apostle Peter said, grow in grace. I took this phone so I can check time, but it looks like I've mismanaged the time already. Grace is available for us. Our sister churches, some of them are doing Bible in 3 months. Some of us are clergy. We have not finished New Testament. Before, ever before. The time we finished it was when it was assignment. So how can we generate mind-blowing testimonies for ourselves? Ourselves. Before we transfer it to the next person. And I'm glad with one message this evening. That since we established yesterday that mercy does not come to the first role, but chooses from the back. And we gave instances of those mercy chose from the back. Men that were dirty and filthy. It means that me, that is talking, I'm guilty at some point. So I am now a vessel ready to be cleansed by mercy. Except it is in hypocrisy. But if it is in true worship, then somewhere it has affected me. And to be honest, this is not the way I wanted to go in this message. It is not. If mercy picks dirty people, it means I am still a work in progress. God said to Jeremiah, go to the house of the potter. Go to the house of the potter and observe. And what did he observe? The potter had the authority to mold the clay, make what he wants, break it again and start afresh. Sir, whatever we have known before, God has the capacity to allow us unlearn so we can relearn. So we can make this heaven. It's not late. It is not late. That we have grandmothers in the village who are still fasting. And at 41, I'm asked to go 40 days. I'm justifying why I should not go 40 days in Lent. The beautiful thing about mercy is that it's not ending yet. It's available. Can we rise to our feet? There's a hymn, I don't have it off heart. He said, whosoever will may come. That's the chorus. It's an invite for all of us to come back to him. That's the essence of the cross. So that we don't drift away. Me too. There's a point where I have drifted away now. Whosoever will. Send the blessed tidings all around the world. Wherever man is found, whosoever will.
Proclamation over veil and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever